Well, I know you're tired, and I have been encouraged to be brief this afternoon, and I'll do that. We've had a great feast this past week. We got to hear a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching. And I told you that I don't get to listen to preaching much, and that really helped me. Now, I've heard a few preachers that didn't help me much. But I really enjoyed Jim, and I'm glad that you've got to become reacquainted, or at least acquainted, if you forgot that he came 18 years ago. But he's a great guy and a great student, and he's a lot of fun to be around. And I really enjoyed listening to him. And I hope you did as well, and I think you did. Why do we go to the Bible? I covered about 5 points this morning for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for edification, and evidence. I want to begin this afternoon with comfort. We go to the Bible for comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, there's an interesting passage. After he discusses how it's going to be at the resurrection, he's telling the brethren, your dead brethren, the brethren that have died in the Lord, they're not going to miss out on the resurrection. And he explains how it's going to work. And then in the last note, he says, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. And that's a great thing. Sometimes I'll write notes when somebody passes away, and I'll write a note to the one that's left, you know. And oftentimes, not always, I guess, but oftentimes, I'll say, we've got to trust in the precious promises of God. And we're trying to encourage each other to keep going on. Even when it's very hard. Even when you don't see how in the world you will. How can I take another step given my loss? Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. My, the consolation we receive from Scripture and from each other's insisting on Scripture and quoting Scripture to us or referring to Scripture for us. What a help it is. Secondly, and I referred to this one kind of this morning when I was talking about edification, point four, but I'm going to list it separately as motivation. I go to the Scriptures for motivation. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 and 11, Paul will use the word example. He discusses before the Corinthian brethren the idea of Old Testament examples, and their example sometimes was just awful. These things are our examples to the intent. We should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. We should not commit fornication. We should not murmur. They're examples of bad behavior. So you go to the Scriptures and you look at examples, and some of them, a lot of them, are examples for imitation because it's good behavior. You want to avoid the bad. Be the good. Sometimes there are statements of obligation that to motivate us, and then there are threats and there are promises, things of that sort. But the Scriptures are highly motivational. When you study the life of Christ, you consider the suffering of Job. You think about the lamentations of Isaiah, the grief of Jeremiah, all of the things that people went through, and God wanted me to have a record of it. You know all the things that God left out? I sometimes refer to passages where we sometimes insert things and well, He meant this, and He didn't say that. The Bible is amazing not only for what it entails, what it puts in, but what it leaves out. And there was a certain accumulation of material, a body of information. God said, now Mac, I want you to have this. And He knew how I would need it for all of these classifications. It would function this way. The Bible motivates me. Motivates me to be good. And then number eight, there's history. The matter of knowing my past. Where do I come from? Not just my recent past, but my past back to antiquity, all the way back to Adam, all the way back to God. I need to know my past. The things written aforetime were written for our learning. Don't cut yourself off. You forget the past, you lose sight of what the present's about, and you destroy your future. So you need to study history. And as I've encouraged us all, when you're studying the Old Testament, it's more than history. It is history. But it's more than history because God is teaching us how history works, how it goes. how life goes, how nations go, why they went the way they did. And that's, you're getting off into the reasoning about history. And so you think about the Old Testament that way. Romans 15:4 is a good passage on that. And then, number 9, I studied the Scriptures. I reached for my Bible because I want to know what in the world's going on now. We read about the last days in 2 Timothy 3 that started in the first century. Timothy lived to see the initiation of the last days. But what's going on in these last days? And he tells me the kind of characters you'll have that, characterize the last days. What's going on now in my lifetime? And what am I supposed to do? Hebrews 8:8, it quotes the Old Testament, but it's got a principle that's applicable now. Today, hearken to the voice of God. Don't harden your hearts as in the day of provocation. Today is the day of salvation. Peter would tell us to count the long-suffering of God's salvation. And so it tells me what my perspective is to be toward my present, toward today. But it also warns me about my present. James 4:13. It warns me. Somebody's going to say, today or tomorrow, I'll go into the city. I'm going to spend a year there. Buy and sell and get gain. Well, he says, but you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. He could have said, you don't even not know what's going to be here the rest of the day. Have you ever thought about the fact that people die on what was yesterday, their tomorrow? And they were counting on doing things tomorrow. But tomorrow somehow became today, and today caught up with them. It's amazing how time works. So I'm going to go today, or I'm going to go tomorrow. And once I make the trip, I'm going to spend a year. My goodness. If you make plans like that, James says, you better count God in. And say, if the Lord will, I'll go today, or I'll go tomorrow, and I'll get to spend that year, and it'll be a profitable business venture. If the Lord wills. But he says you don't know what's going to happen. And that's why you have to always be faithful and ready for your passing, because it could come today, it could come tomorrow, but I want to know something about my present. Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. You can say that about any today, any day that became today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And that shows its value. That shows its significance. It's not just to be looked upon as the drudgery of a routine through which I have to pass, but God attaches blessedness to the significance of being able to live under His guidance and His care. But then number 10, I go to the Bible because I want to know something about the future. Sometimes I get too curious about it, and you wonder about things, but God will give me insight into certain things that will happen in the future, one of which is my approaching death, Hebrews 9:27. Mac, you better get ready for that. By the way, I was looking at my hands the other day. I was sitting in my easy chair and had my hands on the arms of the chair, just like them. They were just like this. They were still. I started looking at them, and you know what they reminded me of? Hands I had seen in caskets. I mean that. I mean, just I've seen bodies of men all dressed up, you know, and in their casket, and their hands were folded over, and their hands looked like my hands. It's just another indication of our mortality. Of our mortality. My future. You're heading for death. And then there's resurrection. And then there's judgment. There's all of that, my future. And then finally, this last point I want to make. We go to the Bible to understand how far are we to go? What is my duty? What is my privilege in expressing love? Now, God is described in various ways, and we'll get to that more in detail later. But God says you have to love everybody. You have to love me first, all your heart, soul, mind, strength. You got to love your neighbors yourself. Lord, are you serious about that? You've even got to love the neighbor that's not very likable. You've got to love the neighbor that became your enemy. Lord, are you serious about that? I go to the Bible to find the definitive description of love. Romans chapter 5, Jesus died for people who didn't love Him. Jesus died for people who were not His friends. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But He tells us to love all men, and especially to have a love for our brethren. To really grow in that in affection of brethren, but even to seek the good of my enemy. Fear God, keep His commandments. Love is to be expressed like Jim said out at camp. Some people call it legalism. We're to keep the commandments of God. John 14:15. Some people call it legalism. The Bible calls it love. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God that we keep His commandments. That sounds like Solomon. This is the love of God that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Some are more pleasant than others. God said, Ephesians 5:25. Mac, you need to love June. You need to love your wife. Well, okay. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. No. It's a pleasant obligation to keep. Loving my enemy, Romans 12, Matthew 5:44. Praying for my enemy, that can be more onerous. More challenging. So, keeping up with certain obligations can be more pleasant than keeping up with others. But the deal is, I can't pick and choose. I have to grow in learning the worth of the obligation and having the mind of God. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, if you want to be like the Father, you've got to love your enemy. God loves His enemies. You've got to pray for them. That you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Do you want to be like your Father? How far do I have to go with love? Not just for your wife, not just for your brethren, not just for your children and those people you like, but love all men. So it's summarized, keeping the commandments of God. All of them. You can't show your love for God any other way. We go to the Bible for information along that line. We go for comfort. We go for motivation. We go for history. We go for the present. We go for future. We go for a definitive description of love. If you're here this afternoon and not a Christian, come in faith, repent of your sins, make the good confession, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, come home now while we stand, while we sing, won't you come?